This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The conversation premortem, how to stress test your anchor before the negotiation starts. Prepare your opening number so it lands with confidence, not apology. In short, your negotiation anchor is only as strong as your preparation behind it. Setting a number without stress testing it first is like walking into a storm without checking the forecast. An anchor that you cannot defend will collapse the moment the other party pushes back. The conversation pre-mortem lets you find the weak points in your anchor before the negotiation starts, not during it. Preparation does not make you rigid. It makes you confident enough to hold your position and move on your own terms. Definition: negotiation anchor preparation is the deliberate process of testing and strengthening your opening position before talks begin. It involves validating your anchor number, building a rationale, anticipating challenges, and rehearsing delivery so the anchor lands with conviction rather than apology. A consultant I knew spent 3 weeks preparing a proposal. She had the numbers right, the market data solid, and a rate that was fair by every measure she could find. She walked into the room, stated her fee, and the client raised an eyebrow. One eyebrow. She dropped her rate by 15% in the next breath. The anchor was not the problem. Her negotiation anchor preparation was. She had never asked herself the hard questions before the meeting. What will I say when they push back? What is my rationale? How low will I go? And why? When the moment came, she had no answers, and the silence filled itself with a number she regretted. This is where anchoring breaks down for most people. Not in the selection of a number, but in the absence of preparation behind it. The anchor becomes a guess dressed up as a position, and guesses collapse under pressure. What follows is a practical pre-mortem process for stress testing your anchor before the negotiation starts. Work through it, and you will walk in with a number you believe in and the language to defend it. Why your anchor collapses before the other party even speaks. The problem with most anchors is not that they are too high or too low. The problem is that the person who set them never fully committed to them. You choose a number, feel a flutter of doubt, and then spend the hours before the negotiation quietly talking yourself down. By the time you sit across from the other party, you are already negotiating against yourself. The anchor is fragile before anyone else touches it. This is what I describe and Say It Right Every Time as the confidence paradox. We believe that confidence is a prerequisite for action, when in fact it is the result of it. You will not feel confident about your anchor by thinking harder about it. You will feel confident by preparing for the specific moments that frighten you. Anchoring also carries a particular psychological weight, because the first number in a negotiation sets the reference point for everything that follows. The other party's brain anchors to your opening position, whether they want to or not. That is the priming effect at work. A strong anchor pulls the entire zone of possible agreement in your direction. A weak one, delivered without conviction, signals that the number is negotiable before the conversation has even begun. The premortem is the tool that bridges the gap between choosing an anchor and believing in it. What you need to establish before the premortem begins. The stress test only works if your anchor is grounded before you start challenging it. Walk in with a number you pulled from thin air, and the premortem will simply confirm that it is shaky. Three things need to be in place first. Your realistic range. Know your reservation price, which is the absolute minimum or maximum you will accept before walking away. Know the most ambitious number you can defend with a straight face. Your anchor should sit at the ambitious end of that range, not in the middle. Your rationale. You need at least two or three concrete reasons why your anchor is where it is. Market data, comparable outcomes, your track record, the scope of work, time constraints. Without rationale, an anchor is an opinion. With rationale, it becomes a position. Your walk-away clarity. Knowing your partner, your best alternative to a negotiated agreement before you enter is not optional. It is the foundation of every other decision you make at the table. If you do not know what you will do if talks fail, you will be too afraid to hold any position under pressure. Once these are in place, the premortem can begin. The six-step premortem for stress testing your anchor. In Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the conversation premortem as a method for reducing anxiety before high-stakes conversations. The concept is simple. Instead of hoping things go well, you imagine specifically how they could go wrong, then prepare for each scenario. Applied to anchoring, it becomes one of the most direct tools I know for building negotiation confidence. Number 1. Write down your anchor and say it out loud. This sounds too simple to matter. It is not. Most people set an anchor in their head and never hear themselves say it. When you finally say the number at the table, it is the first time you've heard it in your own voice. That is why the delivery is often hesitant. Say the anchor out loud, alone, until it sounds like a statement of fact and not a question. I'm looking for a base salary of £87,500. Say it until it sits flat, without the upward inflection that turns it into a request. Number 1. Identify the 3 most likely pushback responses. Ask yourself, what will they say when I name this number? Write down the 3 most realistic responses. Not the catastrophic ones, the realistic ones. They might say, that is higher than we budgeted. They might say, we were thinking closer to 7 to 5. They might go quiet and wait for you to speak. Each of these requires a different response, and you need to have prepared for all 3 before you sit down. If you're preparing for a salary negotiation, consider using the conversation pre-mortem approach to reduce anxiety before difficult workplace conversations, which covers the same underlying technique applied to feedback settings. Number 1. Script your rationale in 1 or 2 sentences. Your rationale needs to be short enough to remember and specific enough to respect. Long rationales sound defensive. A 2-sentence justification sounds grounded. Based on the market rate for this role in this region and the scope of what we have discussed, 87,500 is where I need to land. I have looked at comparable positions, and I am confident this reflects the value I bring. Write yours out, then cut it in half. Then say it aloud until it sounds natural. Number 1. Ask the question that will shake you. This is where most pre-mortem exercises stop short. They anticipate pushback, but they do not put real pressure on the anchor itself. You need to ask yourself the question that genuinely frightens you. What if they laugh? What if they say the budget is 60,000 and that is final? What if they withdraw the offer entirely? Assess each scenario honestly. Catastrophic outcomes are rarely as likely as anxiety makes them feel. If you can name the worst case and acknowledge that it is unlikely but survivable, it loses most of its power. This is not wishful thinking. It is a precise reduction of anticipatory anxiety, which is the fear of what might happen, versus performance anxiety, which is the challenge of what is actually happening. The core framework, which I discuss in the context of staying grounded during tense workplace conversations, applies directly here. Check your state, observe what is real, respond deliberately, and evaluate what actually needs to change. Number 1. Decide your movement strategy before you need it. Your anchor is not your final position. Know that going in, but know in advance how you will move and under what conditions. Concessions made under pressure feel like retreat. Concessions made according to a plan feel like strategy. Decide if they push back firmly. What is my next position? What will I ask for in return if I move at all? A concession without a request signals desperation. A conditional concession signals control. If I move from 8 to 7,500, I will ask for an additional 5 days of annual leave and a 6-month review for a further salary adjustment. Write the exchange before it happens. Number 1. Practice the delivery until the silence feels comfortable. The moment after you name your anchor is where most people lose the negotiation. They cannot bear the silence, so they fill it. Of course, I am flexible, or I know it might be more than you expected. Each word after the anchor is a signal that the anchor is soft. Practice stating the anchor, then staying quiet. Practice it with a colleague who will push back. Practice it alone until the silence after the number feels like ground, not a void. This is the confidence competence loop from say it right every time in its most direct form. The small act of sitting with silence, repeated enough times, builds the competence to hold a position under real pressure. When the negotiation is remote or asynchronous, the pre-mortem process does not change for remote negotiations, but the delivery risks do. On a video call, you lose the physical presence that supports a confident anchor. You cannot use posture in the same way. Silence feels more awkward and more ambiguous. 2 adjustments matter here. First, prepare your visual frame. What the other party sees in your background and face carries weight. A static, well-lit environment signals preparation. Second, name the silence deliberately if it becomes uncomfortable. I want to give you a moment to consider that as a sentence you can have ready, which turns an awkward pause into an intentional one. For written proposals or email-based anchoring, the same pre-mortem applies, but your rationale must do more work because your tone and presence are absent. Write the rationale with the same precision you would use in speech and review it as if you are reading it for the first time with skeptical eyes. For teams navigating tension in these settings, the approach is covered in reducing tension before high-stakes team discussions are directly applicable to the group dynamics to can surround anchor decisions. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where the pre-mortem goes wrong. The process is sound, but there are three ways people undercut it. The mistake: going through the exercise, but not writing anything down. Why it happens: it feels overly formal for what is a mental rehearsal. What to do instead: write every step by hand. The physical act of writing commits the rationale to memory and forces specificity that thinking alone does not. The mistake: preparing for the most extreme pushback instead of the most likely. Why it happens: anxiety pulls us toward catastrophic scenarios. What to do instead: identify the three most probable responses, not the three most terrifying ones. Prepare for probability, and the edge cases become much easier to handle when they arrive. The mistake: moving the anchor before the negotiation begins. Why it happens: the person talks themselves down during the pre-mortem, convincing themselves the anchor is too ambitious. What to do instead: distinguish between stress testing and self-undermining. If you lower your anchor during preparation, document the reason. If the reason is discomfort rather than evidence, hold the original number. The mistake: apologizing for the anchor at the moment of delivery. Why it happens: the fear of seeming greedy or unreasonable. What to do instead: deliver the anchor, state the rationale, and stop. Softening language such as "I know this might seem high" signals doubt before the other party has even responded. The anchor needs to land clean. For the full framing of why technique and confidence are inseparable, Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time covers this directly. When conflict does emerge at the table after an anchor is challenged, de-escalating arguments during meetings and handling conflict during meetings offer practical tools for keeping the conversation productive without abandoning your position. Your anchor stress test checklist. Run through this before any negotiation where anchoring matters. It takes 15 minutes. It is worth every one of them. Number 1. Have you stated your anchor out loud, alone, until it sounds like a fact? Number 2. Have you written your rationale in two sentences or fewer? Number 3. Have you identified the three most likely pushback responses? Number 4. Have you scripted a specific reply to each of those responses? Number 5. Have you named your worst case scenario, assessed its actual likelihood, and decided you can survive it? Number 6. Have you decided in advance where you will move, under what conditions, and what you will ask for in return? Number 7. Have you practiced the silence after the anchor? Number 8. Do you know your walkaway position, and do you trust yourself to use it? If you can answer yes to all 8, you are ready. If you cannot, the gap between the question you answered no to and your preparation is where your anchor will break. For the full strong method pre-conversation ritual, which states your intention, take a breath, respect all perspectives, offer specific examples, navigate to solutions, and gain commitment to action, the framework is outlined in full in Say It Right Every Time. The negotiation that happens before you sit down. Here is the truth of it: the most important negotiation you will have is the one you have with yourself the night before. That is where anchors are won or lost, not at the table. The conversation pre-mortem is not about eliminating doubt. It is about converting doubt into preparation. When you have worked through every likely challenge, written your rationale, and practiced the silence, what was anxiety becomes readiness. And readiness is what carries the anchor. The advanced communication techniques for high-stakes conversations and the principles behind the core framework for staying calm under pressure both point to the same underlying truth: the person who is prepared for difficulty is harder to move than the person who is hoping for ease. Solid negotiation anchor preparation will not make every negotiation go your way, but it will make sure that when your number is challenged, you've something behind it: a position, a rationale, and the quiet confidence that comes from having already faced the hard questions before anyone else thought to ask them. Frequently asked questions. What is negotiation anchor preparation? Negotiation anchor preparation is the process of stress testing your opening number or position before talks begin. It involves checking whether your anchor is defensible, anticipating pushback, building a rationale, and practicing delivery so you can hold the anchor with confidence when challenged. How do you choose a strong anchor in negotiation? A strong anchor sits at the ambitious but defensible end of the realistic range. It should be specific rather than round, supported by concrete reasoning, and high enough to create room for movement, without being so extreme it destroys credibility or triggers the other party to disengage entirely. Why does an anchor number fail under pressure? Most anchors fail because the person who set them never believed in them. Without preparation, the first challenge from the other party triggers doubt. The anchor collapses not because it was wrong, but because the person behind it had no rationale rehearsed and no plan for handling pushback. How does the conversation pre-mortem help with negotiation anchoring? The conversation pre-mortem, as outlined in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, asks you to imagine the negotiation going wrong before it happens, identify where your anchor will be challenged, and build a response plan. This turns anxiety into preparation and prevents panic-driven concessions. How specific should a negotiation anchor be? Precise anchors outperform round numbers consistently. Saying 87,500 rather than 90,000 signals that you've done the calculation, not plucked a figure from the air. Specificity implies research and reasoned justification, both of which make the anchor harder to dismiss without a counterargument. What is the biggest mistake people make when anchoring in negotiation? The most damaging mistake is apologizing for the anchor at the moment of delivery. Softening language like "I know this might seem high" signals that you do not believe your own number. State the anchor plainly, give your rationale, and stop talking. Let the number sit in the room. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.